In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hatch.
Go. Dart. No, not actually leave.
As soon as you said that, she...
Yeah.
Off she went.
Yeah. Anyway, hello! Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast out there that likes you for you and as more than just a friend, if you know what I mean. I'm Tony.
And I'm William. This is episode 80.
80.
The big 8-0.
The big 8-0. We are now, I don't know, like, it's a round number, but it doesn't really signify
no,
anything.
No, not really.
What's 80 about?
I don't know.
It's a thing.
So... Episode 100 is going to be, like, February 7th?
I thought it was somewhere in February.
Or 8th, 7th? Maybe it's... I don't remember. 7th, I think.
Somewhere in February. No, the producer and I have been discussing that. We've been brainstorming ideas. We want to make it cool and special.
That's good.
So we've had some ideas.
Because I've been... You've got me working on my little project.
Yeah, you got your project.
You're freaking out.
Yeah, I'm not freaking out. I'm getting talent.
I'm freaking out.
As your agent and manager, I'm just telling
Which
you.
Which reminds me, I mean, I will need male voice talent, too.
How many?
I don't know yet.
Okay, I can promise you at least two. And probably an easy three. And I'm sure we could get some listeners.
Well, before it's all done, at first I thought
and
I would...
And that's not counting you. You could also do some stuff.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
You don't have to, but I mean, you're an option.
Although I actually, there was something I was going to do for... Well, I won't get into that.
Yeah, don't...
I have an idea for a character and all kinds of stuff, and I was kind of reserving that character for myself.
I see. So today,
that'd be fun.
William has come here in a Batman shirt and his sex hat. So he's sort of a walking piece of fan fiction at this point.
Of course, you have to point out I'm wearing the hat or else it won't affect the ratings.
Exactly, exactly. People don't listen without the sex hat.
No.
Also, you're getting a little fluffy.
I know, I need to get a haircut.
Yeah. Or let it go long again. I loved it when it was wrong.
No, I'm not going to do
That's
that.
That's pretty awesome.
I got tired of it, and I will never forget being tired of it, so I'll always get it cut now.
Yeah, you paused right at never forget, which made the entire thing sound like you were comparing your long hair to the Holocaust, which is really inappropriate.
No, I was not doing that.
Speaking of which, I had a terrible revelation today that I tweeted about, but people, you can find out about this stuff early. Follow me on Twitter, @NotQuiteTony, and I'll tell you all about it there. I had this revelation. You know the song... From the old Warner Brothers cartoon with the dancing frog, the Hello My Baby, Hello My Honey
song?
Yes,
yes.
Do you know the entire song?
Hello My Ragtime Gal.
Yes. Send Me a Kiss by Wire.
Yeah.
Baby, My Heart's on Fire.
Fire, yeah.
If you refuse me, honey, you lose me, then you'll be left alone. So something, something, and tell me I'm your own. I just realized today that song is saying, in slightly more clever rhyming ways... Submit to my amorous advances, or I will abandon you.
Well, you know, a lot of songs are like that, actually.
Yes, yes. But I had never realized this. No, there's a lot of songs that get really weird when you just boil down and, like, tell me what the message of that song is in one sentence. It's freaky sometimes.
Well, it's a lot of contemporary songs are even like that.
Kids today.
You know, like... Like your interpretation of what's that song, "A Beautiful Soul" or whatever? Remember You thought that was kind of creepy when you really thought about it. What is it? How's it go?
I don't remember that song. You're not. You got to focus
more
towards this
thing. I love you and your beautiful soul or something.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah. I already have forgotten the song, but I do remember there was a song like that.
I don't remember.
And of course, the one that's been getting me. It was Katy Perry's Last Friday Night. Hmm. Oh, I hate that song.
I don't know anything about it.
It's a song about all the insane things that we did last Friday night. Apparently because we drank so much was the thing.
Oh.
And it involves illegal activities, running from cops, I believe, kissing various people, potentially group sex, but we're not really sure. We kind of blacked out. And then the song ends with how we should totally do all that again next Friday night. Because it was that cool.
And why do you hate it?
Mostly because my niece was singing along with it one time. Oh. But because I'm like, that is just such a terrible message for a mainstream pop song.
Well, what you just described was when I was in high school and Monday morning. Sometimes it was Monday afternoon, I guess. No, it was usually Monday morning. There was a class that I took with a couple of friends of mine. They would be their conversation would be a lot like that song.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I mean, almost exactly like it, including at the end saying, let's do that next Friday also.
And that is a sign of a young person making poor decisions and possibly harming themselves and their lives.
Exactly.
That is not...
Which always depressed me. I was always sad.
But that should not be heard on your radio. I mean,
I had to hear it every morning, every Monday morning in high school even. And I remember thinking how awful it was because here are these people where they were abusing their bodies with alcohol, which was so terrible. Then they were driving drunk, which was so dangerous and so sad. And then they were doing other things that they really obviously weren't mature enough to handle. And I always found Monday mornings depressing hearing all these stories. And not only that, but when they were talking about it, it didn't sound like they really thought it was fun. It sounded like, I mean, they were, do you know what I'm trying to say? When people brag about something they did, it's almost, you can almost hear in their voice they're convincing themselves it was. And they're trying to show off.
Here's the thing. This is again
so depressing, sad, pathetic even.
Teaching you how humans are. Imagine those two people.
Yeah.
We're on the national airwaves and very popular, such that people went around quoting them all the time having their friends listen to what
Right. But see, part of them doing that and talking about it in school and trying to let everybody hear what they were saying was that was a play for status and they were motivated to do that based on the music they were hearing at that time and the films they were watching.
In my day, it was more thinly veiled, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
My day...
In your day, yes. you're younger than me.
Yes.
And it got worse.
In our day, I'm just saying, this song is too explicit. This song is really close to just having lyrics that say, we got wasted, and I did some terrible things with people I don't remember, and let's do that again.
And there aren't other songs like this out there already?
Not that explicit.
You know what? You sound like an old man.
In my day,
I'm really surprised to hear this from you.
Really? Oh, I pull this kind of shit all the time. I had a big fight with a high school Australian girl today on Twitter because of all of her weird jive talking and things like that.
Okay, but see, here's the thing. I posted something on Facebook back when I was still on it about seeing a girl that's like freezing outside. I mean, there was a hard frost that day, and she walks to school and she's wearing, you know, shorts that when I was in school would have just been called underpants, right? Uh-huh. And I can't believe this girl. She's going to catch her death cold or whatever. And someone said that I sound like an old man, but you know, other people realize that I've always talked like that.
Yes,
I mean, when I was in high school, I think I was born 40 years old. So it's not unusual for me to say these
things.
No, and
I've been talking like this for years. You just aren't aware. It's only about half the time. Also, I'm sitting here picking my nose in front of William.
But I don't think I've ever heard you talk like that.
What's really hilarious, just try this sometime. On a Saturday or a Friday night, when school is in session, drive down Burlington. Especially if it's particularly cold. It's ridiculous. No girl brings a coat, and they are dressed in outfits that I'm like, Actually, you weren't even aware of the message you're sending with that, are you? It's just amazing to me.
Actually, on my way here, there was a woman rode her bicycle across the street in front of me while I was stopped. And she was riding a bicycle, but she was wearing a miniskirt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, are you kidding me? I can't... That just doesn't make any sense. But this kind of thing has been going on for... I was in high school, the girls did this. They wouldn't wear coats to school in the dead of winter in Iowa, of all places. Yeah. And that's back when we had winters and it was cold. And you know, when I went to high school, I don't know if you remember me telling you this, but when I was in junior high... in Melcher...
Is this the story about how the horse went lame and you had to shoot it on the way to school?
No. Okay. In Melcher... Okay, there's two towns and they're kind of... There's only one street between them. It's Melcher and Dallas. And after a while, it became one town. Melcher-Dallas. Hyphenated, right?
Melcher-Dallas.
And when my dad was going to school... the schools were still separate, and K through 12 was in Dallas, and there was a K through 12 in Melcher too. But by the time he was high school aged, they consolidated, so he actually went to high school at Melcher, and elementary school stayed in Dallas. So anyway, in Dallas it was K through 6, and in Melcher, the junior high kids went to school with high school kids. There was no middle school or anything like that. So
there's only six kids in the whole town, so it was
right.
Pretty
so
easy
one day, play. One day I'm sitting in my English class, and the teacher is Jo Mary Smith, who was a really good teacher, but one of those teachers that's a good teacher, but you don't really appreciate it until like you're older.
Yeah.
And when you're actually that age, you kind of don't like them, kind of deal. Mm. She passed away recently, so I was sitting in English class, and it was overcast that day, and I heard, you know, what I thought was thunder, and I kind of looked out the, you know, put my head closer to the window so I could see out, and these bricks flew past the window. It seemed like forever these bricks were flying past, and by that time other people were noticing too what was going on, and
did it turn out you were doing this with your mind?
No.
Okay.
That
would be a cool story. So, if it was that.
So I think the teacher went to investigate and so on. And what had happened was, on that wall of the school, the top of the wall, the bricks had all fallen down. Apparently, when they built the school in the 40s, metal was scarce, and there was no metal infrastructure, rebar, or anything in the walls. It was just brick and mortar, and, you know, by the time I was in junior high school, it started to give out, and the wall fell down. And it was fortunate it was raining that day, because there were some people that there was a courtyard down there with picnic tables and nobody was sitting at them.
Because it was raining.
Usually they were, and someone would have gotten hurt. But anyway, the building was condemned. And
I still think you did it with your mind.
No, I didn't do it with my mind. But so while the new building was being constructed, we had to take our classes in buildings around town. And
hardware store, soda shop.
No, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church right across the street, the Legion Hall, where it was also a cafeteria, and a few other places. And then there was a problem with one of the contractors. They messed up the job, and then they had to hire a new contractor. So from the time I was a freshman to the first half of my junior year, we were going to class in all of these buildings, and we had some pretty harsh winters back then. Although there was only one... there was only one day where we had a snow day, and that was when it wasn't called until after most of us were already at school, and they basically called it because a bus crashed. The superintendent had this thing about, just because our students are trudging through the snow to get to classes, that doesn't mean we're going to cancel school, you know? And so everyone else around us was canceling school, but he refused to do it. And then one day, it was really awful, and... I made it into school, and a few other people did, but the teachers hadn't made it, and we were wondering, maybe they'll cancel it after all. And then the superintendent, I'm standing in front of the Methodist Church where French class and English class and science class was, and that's right across this.
I feel that there's really a joke there somewhere, but I just haven't got it together in my head.
So and we're right across the street from the gymnasium, and the superintendent drives up in his car, and he loses control and spins 360 degrees.
And he goes and says, "Not canceling!"
And then he gets out of his car and falls on his back. And then, 10 minutes later, we find out school's canceled. And I thought it was because, well, you know, duh, the superintendent had this horrible experience and now he's realizing he should have canceled school. But what he found out was one of the buses crashed and a lot of kids got hurt. Anyway, why was I telling this story?
Women dressing bad.
Oh.
Girls dressing slutty. That's right. In the winter.
So think about this for a second. Sometimes, like the Catholic Church, you might have a math class there. And then...
No, you wouldn't.
Well, yeah, you would. And then you'd have like 10 minutes to go from math class to a history class, which was in the upstairs of the fire department. And that was like 5 blocks away. And sometimes you had to carry all your books with you in this huge backpack, right?
God, you were such a bumpkin.
So anyway, listen to me. Even back then, freezing cold...
Did you have to walk by Floyd the Barbers?
Well, you walked by the barbers, yeah, but Floyd didn't... The guy's name wasn't Floyd, but it doesn't matter.
Would Aunt B bring you lunch?
No. Listen, the thing is, the Catholic Church, now, it's not a big town, but the Catholic Church is on one side of the town, and the fire department is basically clear on the other side, and you have to book it.
A whole 100 yards.
No, it's a long ways. I mean, you know, blocks are not like city blocks, but it's a long ways. I mean, you're barely going to make it in 10 minutes that you have to get from one place to the next. So... And it's freezing cold outside, ice, whatever. Even then, the young women in our school would sometimes not wear coats or wear shorts or whatever. It's like, I couldn't believe, you know, it just didn't make any sense. But back then they did it.
I'll tell you why what has changed for me is what happened. I've discovered this recently. I'm getting old. In the younger day, and this might be a thing for other men out there who are into women, when you hit a grown-up age, like, you know, late 20s, that kind of thing, and you see a girl dressed attractively who looks good, but you're like, she's probably high school age. You go about your business, because crazy young and all this, but in the back of your mind, you're like, you still find her attractive. I am now old enough that girls who look that young, when I see them, I don't quietly and guiltily find them attractive. I seriously am like, oh, sweetie, put a coat on. Where are your parents? And so all the girl, basically, the age cutoff at which my brain will actually find women attractive now is high enough that very few women of that age bracket and up dress that way.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm seeing is little children dressing like whores, and I don't like it.
Well, and yeah.
Katy Perry's in that group.
Now, see, that's true. When I was younger, teenage women were dressing this way, but not little girls. And something happened where now little girls are wearing things that I just don't understand.
Fashion, because the trashiness becomes the fashion.
Yeah.
And then it's not trashy, it's fashion.
And so that's not right. But even when I was in high school, and you know, these were girls my age, and they were beautiful girls or whatever, there was a total block to me being... attracted to them or titillated by what they were wearing because it didn't make any sense and they were going to catch a cold and it didn't...
I had no problem about that at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, well, I...
And even as late as my mid-20s high school age girl, again, you know, I'm right, like, but... that's not okay, and so I move on with my life. But in my head, I feel gross about it, but I'm still, like, no, kind of hot. But now I'm old enough that legitimately no part of my brain is into that.
See...
My whole brain is just like, damn it, I am calling your parents now because this is ridiculous.
But it wasn't hot. It was crazy. I mean, doesn't the crazy outweigh the hot?
Absolutely never. Mm. Hot always trumps crazy. Speaking of which...
Hot and crazy.
That's what I'm saying. But I am totally fine with the crazy because you make up for it with the hot.
There you go.
I don't even know what to say with that.
By the way, producer's going on a run. But
like,
no.
There's part of me that's like, thanks. There's part of me like, you sexist asshole.
No. This is true for men, too. for me.
Hot Trump's crazy?
Yeah, admittedly, men crazy gets a little weird.
So that's pretty much the premise now, of Jersey Shore.
I should say this. Hot Trump's crazy. Dangerous Trump's hot. So if, no matter how hot you are, if you're crazy enough that I think, if we get into Fatal Attraction territory, yeah, no, I'm out. But as long as I don't feel I'm in danger, yeah, hot totally Trump's crazy.
Right.
Back me up, listeners. Come on. Hot Trump's crazy.
No, it does not. I don't think so.
You should comment, folks, on the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Find this episode, comment. Tell me what an asshole I am. Explain to William how the world works.
Producer,
either way.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Hot Trump's crazy.
Yeah. Do you think Hot Trump's crazy?
How old am I?
You're
you. You mean it makes a difference? Okay,
it
so
does. No. I grew out of crazy.
Well, to be fair, we're just talking about looking in this case.
Well, I mean,
crazy looking.
Well, no, I like. But when I even when I was a teenager, if,
wearing skimpy clothes in cold weather.
Yeah, if a beautiful woman was wearing skimpy clothes, the hot was completely obliterated by the crazy.
So, are we allowed to talk about the part that we don't talk about?
What part's that? What are we?
I'm intrigued now.
I'm intrigued and a little scared.
So Tony's 5 years younger than I am.
Yes.
And when we first started dating, his crazy trumped his hot. And it wasn't necessarily his crazy, it was your youthful indiscretion. Because you were young and you were stupid.
So she's saying she was attracted to your crazy?
Speechless.
No, she's not wrong. I'm just sure that she has something specific in mind, and I can't recall what it is.
I'm saying that we dated for a period, and then we stopped dating for a period. And it was in large part because I didn't think he was mature enough.
Oh, I see.
See, and I still think that was your issue. So you're talking about our dark years.
The dark times.
That's what we call them now.
But I'm
because
saying
we actually track our first date from a time period after this. But we had about a year or two of
it wasn't that
weird
long.
Shit before.
anyway, no, he was just
the
I mean,
dark ages.
He was just at a different point in his life than I was, and I wasn't willing to put up with the craziness of it.
I'd see, and I think that's immaturity, which is a difference.
Yeah, it was immaturity.
Immaturity is not crazy. Immaturity, I'll admit, tends to trump hot. That's a problem I've always had. Even if they're my age, if they act like they're 10 years younger than me, you know, I'm like, you're not that hot.
Okay,
it's annoying.
Yeah,
but see, when you say hot trumps crazy, it makes it sound like physical characteristics trumps all. And that's just...
No, I'm just saying I have dated a lot of crazy people that were smoking hot, and I don't really regret it.
Dude, I gotta go run, but I'll say one more thing.
Okay.
Tom Cruise gets dates. Therefore, hot must trump crazy.
Tom Cruise is Tom Cruise crazy.
Sure,
just be glad it's him, not you.
Sure as hell is.
If you had Tom Cruise's troubles,
you'd be Tom
you
Cruise
might be
crazy.
Tom Cruise crazy, too.
All right, my goals for the next half hour?
Yes.
Run 22 minutes.
22 minutes.
Right,
secondary then. Goal, run further than I did last week when I ran 20 minutes.
Also would be nice.
I think that's really pretty much it.
I'm good with that. Go
okay.
with it.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Don't break a leg.
No.
That's
yes.
Now, for me, lots of things. Like crazy, immature. Maybe if someone seems a little not very... Like they don't
guess,
care about life. All these things trump hot for me.
I'm going to guess just about everything trumps hot for you.
And all my life it's been like that. Not just when I was older.
You're not normal.
Well, I don't know.
Would make porn very difficult.
Well, see, that's the thing. As we've kind of discussed, part of that theory that I mentioned last time we talked about this, pornography doesn't... I mean, you know, the pornography I've seen I might just as well be watching someone dig a ditch. I mean, it doesn't make
that's
any...
hot.
It doesn't do anything for me because
Ditch Diggers 5 was a hell of a video.
Because it seems so. Ugh.
The sad thing is, I'll bet there is a porn out there called Ditch Diggers.
Probably, but
I don't even know what it
but,
is.
But that said, I've seen art like paintings, or I've read. Passages that are supposed to be erotic, and I can see how. Oh yeah, now that makes sense to me, and I'm sure some graphic erotic art would would be different, but what typically passes as pornography is I don't even get how anyone can watch it.
I'm guessing it's been a while for you though. Pornography is making many new strides. The evolution of pornography is quite impressive. Trust me, I've been there through the years. Very careful.
And of course,
phone's ringing and nobody's here to answer it. So
I haven't seen
very
much, of course, but I mean, I've seen some because I mean, I'm a sociologist. I have to expose myself to these things. So that's true, isn't it? I mean, what kind of human behavioral scientist would I be if I refused to allow myself to watch something that's such a huge social force as pornography, especially on the internet?
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to say that for now. That's going to be my go-to for watching porn now. I'm a sociologist. I have to experience these things.
Actually, that's a pretty good excuse. But the thing is... The thing is that...
That's a hell of a pickup line, too. And,
no,
hey,
it isn't. No, it isn't.
I got something we should do. I'm a sociologist. We have to experience these things.
But, yeah, well, I wasn't impressed. At all. I was kind of surprised, actually, how unimpressive it was. Like, really?
Bad porn is really bad.
This is what people get into? I can't figure it
there
out.
There was a girl I was dating.
I mean, it's gross, even. It's not even just... You know, it's not even just blank, it's just gross.
There was a girl I was dating, and this was before the internet, so she had never seen genuine hardcore pornography, and we happened to be somewhere that had a video store that had it, so we rented one so that because she wanted to see it. And it was so bad that we just started making alternate voices for it. The woman got turned into some sort of old Jewish man because the facial expression she was making.
Well, I don't.
Really
the thing is, I don't. I mean, I guess now that I've said all that, I should be fair. I don't think I've ever like watched a pornographic movie or a whole whatever. I mean, I've just seen snippets here and there that, and I didn't really even go looking for it. It was just one of those things where I don't know.
You sound like a lazy sociologist to me.
Yeah, I am kind of when it comes to this because it's like, well, you know. I haven't done like some kind of study on it. I don't know very much about it. I don't even know what would constitute a porn movie. I mean, like, is it something that really does have some kind of plot or a story or a beginning, a middle, and an end? Or
it can.
Because when I think of pornography, I just think of, well, first of course, I think of magazines because that's all there was when we were, you know, younger. And then
cave paintings.
Even when I think of it in regard to the internet, I just think of vignettes or short little things or whatever. I don't think of stories or anything with a plot.
They can have plots.
Well,
it does happen.
I can't believe that they're very good. I mean, I'm just guessing.
Not as a rule, but I think it varies.
Well, I wonder why they couldn't be.
Of course, the definition of pornography is very loose.
No, I realize that. But I just don't think of it as something that... I mean, why would someone go to the trouble of making a story when the person watching doesn't probably care about that?
Well, because for some people, they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
the supposed thing in the industry was there was a big push, and sort of still is, to make pornography for women. And one of the assumptions was women like story in their pornography. By the way... Every single word I'm saying is in air quotes, people. Air quotes are really bad on audiobook because these are not my thoughts.
Okay, see, I don't even know anything about that, so obviously my exposure is very limited. But
so, you all...
I have allowed myself some exposure for academic
purposes. Explain
to
William what pornography is like. Do it on our blog, themagicaltalkinghead.com.
No one's
going to
talk about pornography
explain
on our blog.
I think they might.
You know what they talk about? You know when we get huge numbers of
comments? I know what they talk about. I see everything. They mostly talk about the producer.
Or board game, like the last one we had, there's 30-some comments, because everyone would talk about board games.
Yeah.
But no one's going to want to talk about pornography.
They make pornographic ones, I'm sure.
Yeah, nobody's going to want to talk about
that. I don't know
that
I've played them, but...
I mean, I don't even want to talk about it, except in a sort of an academic sense.
Yes.
Because it is an interesting phenomenon, really, but...
So interesting. I saw this one, it was so interesting.
No, not the actual... I'm such a dork.
So how was your week?
Oh, you know. Well, I've been working on the thing because...
Good. Keep it up.
Whatever. But
don't eat, don't sleep.
You probably have a lot of things to talk about because, you know, you...
I hope not because we've already killed a half hour.
Wow.
Luckily, I didn't really do a lot.
You did your game, though.
Did the game. It hasn't made a lot of progress. But we did some. They had their little fight, if you'll recall.
Oh, because the guy blew up.
Brendan broke the third law of magic. And so Eric had a little fight with him that pulled in Helen, one of the characters. And so the three of them were fighting inside. Eric decided he was going to show off. So what he did so they could have a private conversation is he actually spontaneously built a dome of stone around them in the middle of the street so they could have a private conversation with a little hole in the top for air. And so while three of them were arguing, Max, the fourth one, got really sick of it, and so he decided to climb out, or try to, but the hole was too small. So it was really fun watching them fight, and then I had to stop them and say, by the way, Max is literally dangling from above you, his legs like swinging in front of your face during all of this. So that was pretty fun. But they did kind of work some stuff out a little bit. They came to an understanding.
Work some stuff out. That's funny.
It was a little bit awkward. They did a lot of finger pointing and stuff, but sort of put it behind them. And I think Brendan feels really freaked out about the whole idea now of what he may or may not have done, which will be really fun later. And they eventually found where they were going, and they found out that their guide was in fact kidnapped. They still don't know who that person is who looked like her, who brought them into town. And yeah, she's in the hands of a very disturbing non-human individual who goes by the Sobriquet name of Penny Dreadful. And it's quite disturbing.
Mm.
And it has made a deal with them that they need to go acquire something called the Gaslight for them. And it will trade their guide back to them in exchange for that item. In one small stroke of luck, moonlighting for guard duty outside this house is Helen's fairy boyfriend. She has a guy she's dating who's from the fairy realm.
Oh.
And she picked him up in the first adventure. She tried to ask him out to try and distract him, and it didn't work, but then later she decided to ask him out anyway, so they've kind of been dating. Very casual. But Penny Dreadful has agreed to let him accompany them to get this gaslight. So they're on their way to the train station, and then we'll see what happens from there.
Train station, wow.
Yes, there is a train station in the Never Never in this area, run by gnomes.
Hmm.
But, yeah, that's about as far as we got. Not a lot happened there. All right, so hat time. For those of you just joining us, we have a magical hat. You can email it, questions and topics, and we pull them out of the hat at random and talk about it. So you should email the hat. Everyone should email the hat. Lots. At themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once more, that's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Thank you, won't you?
Thank you, won't you?
All right, go for it.
Okay.
What do we got?
Craig
from outer London, we call it, but let's be honest, Slough.
Dear TMTH.
That's us.
What is your favorite board game?
Oh, Jesus.
Wow. See what I'm saying? They all love board games. That's what they want to talk about. They love
board games.
This is the third time we've been asked this question. Yes. I'm sure of it.
Well, based on what happened on the blog, I think the producer really wants to get her hands on Flux. People were very big into Flux.
Well, I looked at it, and it did look fun, and I think I would probably not get the original. I'd probably get... The original looked...
A weird theme?
Yeah, the original looked fun, but I think I'd get a theme
pack. I would, based on what I saw on the blog, I would get the pirate one, because I love the idea that it has a new kind of card specifically designed to prevent Mark from winning. I love games like that. I love that.
I'd probably get Starflux is probably what I'd get. But
I, along those kind of games, have been very curious recently about Cards Against Humanity. I don't know a lot about it. From what I've heard, it is similar to Apples to Apples, which unfortunately I also don't know a lot about.
Well, I've played it a couple times. I don't remember anything about it.
Ezzy, what's your favorite game? Ezzy's actual favorite game is Pet Me, Now I Bite You. Or Feed Me, No Thanks, I'm Not Hungry.
Well, seeing as we killed a lot of time and we covered this just in the last episode,
yes.
Maybe we should move on.
Jeez, Craig, what the heck? Do you not even listen?
Hey, did we mention Stuart last time when we had our little shout-out thing?
I think I did. I feel like nobody has come forward to say that I've missed them.
No, they haven't. But I just don't remember hearing his name.
I do wonder, though. There has been a conspicuous absence of any Quad Cities people recently, and Sir Guido has kind of fallen off the map, so I'm a little worried.
Well, he commented on the last few. And
did he?
Yeah.
Okay, he's probably still
a little late, but...
All right, then. I apologize for that. But the Quad Cities crowd, Azure Talon, which may have been the only one left. I think we may have lost Varamond and Useless Trivia Man a long time ago. Uh-huh. But I feel like Azure Talon's not around lately, so fuck that, dude. Come back here. Anyway, we're going to go on to another question, Craig, because we don't care about you.
Sorry, Craig.
No, actually, because we covered it a lot already. We
twice. Really did.
Once.
Hopefully you don't.
Twice. Know. Three times a board game.
Yeah. Romantic.
All right. Oh, Lois Lane.
Huh.
Haven't heard from Lois
in a while.
Bit. This question appears to have been digested or abridged. It says, dearest magical hat. Aw.
There she goes, being all friendly.
Question for Tony.
Oh, good.
So you shut up.
Okay.
If William were a disaster, what would he be?
What?
And
what?
Why?
I am a disaster.
I was going to say, if...
If William were a disaster. Oh, that's awesome. Well, I am a disaster. So.
You are a disaster.
Next.
No.
Oh, you're going to come up with a different kind of disaster.
Larger. We'll say some sort of global disaster.
Global...
Yes.
What? Seriously? I wouldn't be a global disaster. I would be like a leaky faucet or something.
No,
or...
you are kind of that now, but that's not a disaster. That's an annoyance. We're talking really disaster. Zombie apocalypse kind of thing.
No, no, no. What about something a governor would say, a disaster area like a flood or a...
No, no, no. You wouldn't be that.
Bad tornado.
Or
a brush fire.
No. I have this idea.
An epidemic?
Not, sort of.
Global? Why would you make it so huge?
That's what a disaster is.
Well, not necessarily. It can affect, like, one town. It's
no, I don't care, then. It's not a disaster.
What makes it a disaster?
Affecting the whole globe.
Oh, everybody.
Yes.
Seriously? So nothing's a disaster unless it does that? There's never been a disaster in the history of the world, except
AIDS.
For the asteroid impact that killed the dinosaurs.
You might be AIDS.
Why would I be AIDS?
I don't know. You might be AIDS.
Why?
Because you're kind of a jerk that way, just like AIDS is.
Okay, AIDS. A sexually transmitted disease. Let's point that out.
Actually, no. Here's the funny part.
Why would I be a sexually transmitted disease?
Did you ever see the movie Jeffrey?
No.
Lovely movie. I highly recommend it. It's a movie. It's very much in its time and place. It's in the early 90s. And it's a comedy. It's actually based off of a play, and you can really tell it has that vibe. There's lots of talking to the camera, that sort of thing. About a gay man who, in the era of AIDS scare and safe sex and everything, decides it's all too crazy, and so he's giving up on sex. And then, like, that day... finds a guy who he totally falls for, and then hijinks ensue. And at one point, they say, remember, AIDS is that one jerk who just won't leave the party. But you have to remember, it's still our party. And I'm saying, you're that jerk who won't leave the party.
I don't see it.
And attacks our immune system. What I'm saying is, ever since I've known you, I've developed lesions.
Oh, okay. That makes sense, I guess.
No, I guess you're not AIDS. You're one of those ones that came out of a monkey.
I don't... Okay, wait.
Maybe you're herpes.
First of all, why is it sexually transmitted? That's what I want to know.
Because that's the contamination vector. You would have to ask the CDC about
it. No. Why would I be a sexually transmitted disease? Why would I be one?
I guess you could be SARS if you really wanted to be.
No, it's not an issue what I want. I want to know why you're picking a sexually transmitted disease in particular.
I'm picking them based on symptoms, not based on infection vectors.
On symptoms.
Coincidentally, yes.
So you're...
You give me cold sores.
Well, first, okay, maybe we should do it this way. Why pick
you
a disease?
Make my genitals itchy.
Why pick a disease?
See, I feel like you'd say this no matter what I picked, though.
Well, yeah, of course I'd ask no matter what you picked. I'd want to know why. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel
that's
like...
all that says, and why. That's part of the question.
Okay, no, we need something. We need
I think
something.
I said duh twice already in this podcast. Oh, I wonder if I can say duh more than one. Three times. Three. Not just say it, but say it in context. Duh. Okay. I'm thinking about it. So, if William were a disaster, what would he be and why?
Well, okay, what if you were, what do you think he would be?
This isn't the question for me, it's a question for
you. I know, but I'm asking you. I'm asking you.
I told you, I'm like...
You're a flood or a brush fire?
I'm like...
Those are not similar.
I'm like a leak in the ceiling and the tub falls through.
Oh!
Like that.
You have a big fat guy in you?
No.
That's usually when that happens.
No, I say that because, first of all, it's about as minor a disaster as you can imagine because it's only going to affect, like, a few people. Because there's no way I would be a disaster that would affect a lot of people. Second, it's a really annoying kind of disaster, and I think I'm an annoying person overall.
Well, as you look and you say, really?
Exactly.
You see, I want something like that, but on a broader scale. I want something that is really annoying, really widespread, really hard to get rid of, but ultimately... not that impactful. That's why I think herpes might be good. Because it's just like,
so,
it's annoying. You're like,
so that's why that's
herpes,
why you
but like
that's why you pick a
di-
that's
lifestyle.
Why you pick a disease in general because because it's annoying but widespread.
You could be eczema. You could totally be eczema.
But that's not contagious,
isn't it?
No.
Okay.
I don't think.
Don't mix up with psoriasis.
No, I don't think it's...
Poison oak? You want to be poison oak?
Okay, but that...
That could be bad.
That can be spread, but that's not necessarily... That's not the
and
contagious...
And that can get really bad.
Right, but how could it be a disaster?
It could be as much of a disaster as a tub falling
through
the ceiling.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
I had a friend got poison oak, and like his eyes swelled so much shut. And
you mean I could be an allergen?
Exactly. You could provoke a histamine reaction.
That, okay. So I could be...
Like herpes. So people, you tell us what sexually transmitted disease you think William is.
You know...
Share with the class.
You know what? I think you should think of a disaster. Let's get away from diseases.
You just want to be the zombie apocalypse.
No, I just think Lois deserves an answer that sounds like an actual disaster. Regardless of scale.
Kingdom of the spiders.
Like an earthquake or a hurricane.
So it has to be a natural disaster.
Well.
Can it be alien invasion? Yeah, it works. You're kind of alien invasion.
Alien invasion?
Yeah, and you eat white mice when no one's looking.
I eat white mice?
Yeah.
What is that a reference to? Oh, well, I don't know. You know what? I don't think you're really doing justice to this question, but we'll just let it go.
See, people? He's a disaster.
I am a disaster.
All right.
Actually, I've told you all the stories about the bad things that happen wherever I... You know, have worked and
besides this podcast,
yeah. Haven't I told you those things?
Probably.
Like I work.
Tell us about the funnel cakes again. Everybody loves that.
Shut up. There was,
dude. Seriously, it's the best story ever.
There was the one place I worked where the whole place closed down. Everybody got fired afterwards, and not applied. It was someplace else. And there was another place right after that. Where after I started working there, business started getting really bad, and you know I blame myself. And I went to I was sent to one branch office to work there, and I told the lady, I said, every place I work is a disaster. And she said, oh, you're just, you know, don't think that about yourself. But then she had a horrible day that day, and I came back and she was telling me about it, and then she looked at me and she said, oh my gosh, you said this would happen. You're right. You are a jinx. Even she admitted it.
And then she tried to stab you to save everyone?
No. And then when I worked at McGregor's Furniture, you know my story about Jim McGregor.
Yes, yes.
I worked there for a little while, and then
somebody just the other day in the store said, "You know what happens when you assume?" And I almost said,
mm-hmm. "But I was working there, and one of the sales guys on the sales floor sat down in one of the lazy boys, and he died. He died.
Did you sell the chair?
Well, okay, this is what happened with the chair.
Yeah, what happened with that chair?
So,
at least get a markdown.
No, okay. So when he died,
was he buried with a chair? That would be awesome.
You know, some people when they die, if they...
Oh no, he shat all over the chair.
Right. So the chair was...
Oh my god!
Brought to
dead guy pooped on the chair.
The chair was brought to the warehouse, and you know, which at that time was a separate. Anyway, it was brought to the warehouse, and
how did you have this story in your back pocket? And we've gone 80 episodes without telling us.
I don't know. But anyway, the warehouse used to be across town from the store. So we had to load up the chair and drive it across town to the
warehouse. Did you take the guy out of it first?
He was gone.
Okay, good.
I mean, well, physically mostly, gone, not yeah. just gone. But anyway, so here we are. And Jim comes down and he's talking about how we are going to clean up the chair and sell it at a discount price. I talked Jim out of doing that. I said,
"You're a good man,
Jim.
You're a good man.
No, don't do that. I mean, even if you're going to be honest with people about what happened and everything else, you just can't sell this chair.
Oh my God, I want to see. Why is this chair so cheap? Well, honestly, a dead guy shat himself in it."
I mean, that's what happens so sometimes when you die.
There's a little death and poop in the chair, but we
clean. Yeah,
oh
so.
My God, is Jim McGregor still alive? I want to go visit him.
Yeah, he's still alive. So I talked him out of selling the chair. What is so funny about this, really?
Because he was going to sell it with a dead guy and poop in
it. Okay, well, anyway, so I talked Jim out of it. But. So Jim said, "Well, what are you going to do with it?" I said, "Well, we should just throw it away. Just, you know, write it off as a loss because this Absolutely. Is you really shouldn't sell this
the
chair."
The only thing you can do with right. the chair.
That's what I told him, and he agreed. Jim is a good guy.
But then,
well, then,
what? I knew there was going to be a then.
There is a then. You know, I worked down there with a couple guys, and one of the guys decided he was going to clean it up and sell it himself instead of us throwing it out. And that's what he did. He cleaned it
so
up.
So it's out there somewhere.
Someone owns it, yeah.
Do they know?
I don't think so. Oh. And Jim didn't know that he did this either. So that happened at one place I worked.
I have to change the story now. You know what happens when you sue? Guy dies in a lazy boy and shits himself.
You know what? It's a really tragic thing. The guy died, and you're laughing
it
about
really
it.
It really is tragic.
And when people die, sometimes that happens because,
I know.
You know.
South Park has gone at length.
What is it wrong
it's
with you?
It's really terrible, terrible.
So let's see. What happened the next place I worked? Well, actually, there was two or three places I worked closed shortly after I worked there.
Man, you cost me my job.
Surprisingly close. I mean, you know, it wasn't, nobody saw it coming. It just happened.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've got lots of stories about, there was one woman I started dating, and then she stopped.
She got fired?
No, she stopped talking to me.
She died?
She didn't die. No, her brother died, and she...
You killed her brother!
What's wrong with you?
You killed a brother.
No, I didn't do that. But it happened.
How do you know?
Well, it happened shortly after we started seeing each other, and she stopped seeing me because she blamed me for it. Why are you laughing?
Why did she blame you for her brother's death?
Well, because it was just an odd coincidence, that's all.
You are your own disaster If William was a disaster, he would be a guy who walks into places and causes them to shut down, causes people to have terrible days, and causes people to die just by his proximity, even just to their siblings.
I don't understand why you're laughing. Two people are dead.
Yeah, because of me.
Well, not really because of me, probably, but it is a little weird.
Did they sell whatever piece of furniture he died?
I don't know anything about that. I felt really awful for her brother. That was a terrible thing.
Why? Okay, I'm all right now.
I don't understand why you're laughing so much. A lot of these things are really sad. Places closing, people losing their jobs. People dying. It's awful.
In the chair.
But
you can resell it later.
But even Applied closed eventually.
Yeah,
but,
didn't tell nobody, though.
Well, and before it closed...
I actually took a big dump in my office chair before I left.
Funny. I knew it was going to close even when I started working there.
Why didn't you warn me?
I warned lots of people. I didn't warn you?
No.
Yeah, I warned lots of people. I knew it was going to happen. But it did take a longer time than most places, because most places closed within a year or two after I started there. Yeah. This was like several years.
You moved up to management, and then I killed everything.
Well, but a lot of other sort of bad things happened.
Oh, yeah, no, that place.
And there was a guy who died while we were working there.
Who died?
You shouldn't ask me his name. Crap. In a car accident, remember? He was driving to...
Dan Patterson. He died at AP. Oh, God.
That was horrible.
Oh, you don't even know. You didn't have to have the drunken, sympathetic talk about it with the CEO.
Yeah, it was a horrible thing.
Me and Ken, I think, had to have that talk.
Horrible, horrible thing. Because he worked at the Iowa office for a while.
Yeah,
and
then he transferred
Chicago.
Up there and he died in a car wreck, yeah.
Right, while he was going to work. Yeah. Outside of work there. Oh, it's horrible, horrible. So, yeah, I mean, things happen. Horrible things happen. It's me. I'm a disaster.
I don't think that one's your fault. I think the girlfriend's brother is.
No, it wasn't either, but it's just, that's, you know, it's just a terrible coincidence. I'm cursed somehow.
Uh-huh.
I don't really know how, but I am.
So there you go, Lois. Thanks for your question. Otherwise, we would never have had the story.
I don't know why you think this is so funny. I think it's terrible.
Maybe it's just me. We'll have to see what the people say. Because the people loved the funnel cake story. People may not like this. This could just be my sick brain.
Sick brain.
You'll have to let us know, people.
Okay, well, Anon.
What?
Did I draw this?
What?
When did I draw this?
A while ago, because we thought we were done.
Okay. Anon asks, hostage situation. Hostage tells you to shoot. Do you? Shoot what? Hostage situation. Hostage tells you to shoot.
I'm assuming, okay, I'm assuming a lot here. This isn't abbreviated, is it?
No.
Okay. Here's what I'm assuming. It's not like hostage negotiation. It's the standard thing where there's the bad person. And they grab somebody and they're like, do what I say or I'll shoot him. And then sometimes if the person who's been grabbed is the badass of the movie, they say, take the shot. Don't worry about me. Just take the shot.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's what we're talking about here.
Hostage situation. Hostage tells you to shoot. Do you?
First of all, this is the worst question ever.
I don't really understand.
If it's like
you're saying and you have the shot, I suppose.
No.
No?
No. Well, it depends on the TV show.
I don't think it's asking you what you would do.
Yes, I know.
It depends on
what
TV show you're in.
There's a whole lot of considerations here. What has the bad person done?
Oh, I see. Like,
if they stole a backpack from a department store and then they pull a gun, I'm willing to say, you know what? Backpack's yours. Go for it.
Well, yeah, but okay.
I was thinking
more if they were stealing medicine that someone really needed and whatever.
Wow, that's oddly specific.
Well, you know, it's a sympathetic situation.
Okay,
but they have a hostage that they're going to hurt. So, I mean, But they're only going to hurt the hostage if you don't let them go or whatever? Or is that how it works?
Presumably.
Okay. I suppose I would take that into account.
They might take the hostage. It's a real moot point for me because I'm not never shooting nobody for nothing. I wouldn't shoot anybody in self-defense.
Well, then you wouldn't even have the gun
exactly.
that the person was telling exactly. you to shoot.
Exactly. So it doesn't come up for me.
Hostage situation. Tells you to shoot. I don't know. I guess I don't know how to answer this question.
It's a weird question.
I mean, I have no idea. I suppose, you know, if I thought the hostage was in real danger, or if this person was probably going to kill them anyway, or any number of other things, I suppose I would. I don't know. I just
well,
don't
this
know.
Gets at a larger question of how much you're willing to risk a hostage in a hostage situation.
Oh, well, okay, that's a
overall
good
it does because I mean this is a thing we see in the hostage situation. Oh, we can storm the place. Oh, but then they'll kill some people. But if we don't, then other bad things will happen. You know, and so there is a larger philosophical question at work.
So it kind of comes down to like you can save. 10 of the hostages, but not all 12 of them, so...
Potentially. Yeah, that's our option. We can get in, and we'll probably only lose 2 of the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Or we give them what they want. And then they say they won't kill anybody. You know, that kind of thing.
Well, this also gets into that usual ethical argument about, you know, those hypotheticals where you're standing on a bridge... And a trolley is barreling down the tracks, and somehow the bridge has a remote control that you can control the switches on the tracks, and there's a work crew on one side of 5 guys, and there's a work crew of 2 guys on one side, and they don't hear or see this trolley coming. If you do nothing, the trolley will hit the 5 guys. If you do the switch, it'll hit the 2 guys. So what do you do?
Yes, and you hate questions like this.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Because I don't think you can apply utilitarian principles and ethics to human life.
No.
I mean, it's abhorrent for you to sit there and try to weigh whether or not 5 lives are worth more than 2 lives or vice versa even. So, yeah, in that situation, it would be really hard to know because what people are going to assume is, well, we want to do the thing that saves the most individual lives. And to me, even going in that direction ethically is sick.
Well, and...
I mean sick. It really is sick to me.
Regardless, I'm going to spend the rest of my life drinking heavily and fighting the urge to kill myself. Regardless. On top of that, if I was being rational and all of the things were being equal, then I see no reason not to flip the switch and kill the 2 guys instead of the 5 guys. All things are never equal, and I'm not being rational in a moment like that.
Well,
so I have no idea how I would react. And like I said, either way, I hate myself forever.
Well, yeah, exactly.
No matter what happens, I hate myself forever.
Yeah, no matter what happens, you're going to feel like, you know, it's your fault because...
Exactly.
Because you didn't save these guys versus these guys, and again,
and that's not to say that it is your fault.
No, me, the fact that there's 5 over here and 2 over here is completely irrelevant, and I don't know why it's relevant to anybody. When you start thinking of people as just, well, there's 5 over here and 2 over here, 5 beats 2. I mean, that I can't even believe people can think like that and think there's something reasonable about
that. We got to get into more depth here. How old are they? What's their life expectancy? What relatives do they have? In general, how much do people like them?
Well, all those things, but you don't. You have
how
no.
How much are they willing to pay in gratitude later?
You have no idea
exactly
what their future is going to be, or what their children might do,
which one of them is going to give birth to the next Hitler,
sure, or vice versa. You don't know any of these things. You can't sit there and weigh lives like that.
Yeah,
but you know, it's just an ethical. Exercise, of course, but there are some people who truly believe in a strict utilitarian interpretation, and they say, well, of course that you would, you know, and you shouldn't feel a bit guilty about letting the 2 guys go rather than the 5, because that's the right thing to do. You save more lives, but I don't think they're thinking about what that really means.
Do you think I could wedge myself under the wheel and stuff?
I've often thought of that solution. Like,
I think we kind of have to have the switch along.
Yeah, could I sacrifice myself and save all of them? That would be a preferable thing. But my thinking is that no, if you threw yourself on the tracks and it ran over you, that's all that would happen, and it would just keep going.
Or the switch is very far away, and you're not anywhere near the tracks at the time. You're seeing this all on closed-circuit TV or something, with that weird puppet from the Saw movies, like, laughing at you the whole time.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, I don't know. The point is, I think that thinking about human life that way is a huge problem, and the ease with which people in our culture can think of human life that way, I think, does not speak well for our culture, and I think people really need to reflect on how they view these things, because I think the ease at which people do this contributes to a lot of problems in our culture. I think it also makes it easy for people to be racist. It makes it easy for people to be sexist. If it's easy for you to quantify human life and just judge five people more important than two people just by mere numbers, it by the same operation in your head, it will be easy for you to think there's something wrong with people who have a different skin color than you, or that there's something wrong with someone who was born with a different sex or whatever. I see those things as very intimately connected, and I truly do think that.
Well, you can very quickly start quantifying all sorts of things associated with people that you disapprove of or that you don't like. That person makes poor life choices, therefore they are worth less than the person.
Well, exactly. And that's, to me, that is, it's dangerous, and it's, I don't think it's even scientifically tenable to do that. But, you know, we live in a culture where people want to think that, you know, biology determines everything. I mean, we barely even want to admit there's consciousness or free choice. We want to think that, we can't help the things we do, that we're born a certain way, and the choices we make are almost set for us, and so there's no point in thinking about accountability or ethics or morals or anything like that. And certainly, the people who make television commercials want everyone to think that we're controlled by our biological drives, because that's what they want to activate when they show us the commercials, so that we'll buy a certain toothpaste or a car. So our whole culture seems to want to deny higher brain functions in favor of, you know, biological prerogatives, and I think that's a big dangerous aspect of our culture that we really need to correct if we have any hope of, you know, surviving much longer.
So what we're saying here is fuck you, Anonymous. Fuck you and your entire trolley riding family.
Yeah, whatever. Well,
we're over time.
Yeah, thanks Craig and Lois and Anon for all of your questions.
And please, I want to know if it was just me. Tell me if you laughed during the dead person shitting on a lazy boy.
You know, I haven't even told the whole tragic story of my life and the horrible things that happened to people around me.
Oh, we got another chapter. Awesome.
I don't want to talk about some of them.
Tune in next time.
Because they're too, I don't know.
When William is shown to
too raw.
The saddest, most pathetic waif in the entire orphanage. In the Dickensian world that is William.
I'm trying to think of anything that's really great that's happened, you know, in my life around me or whatever.
This podcast.
Besides this.
No, this is it. This is your crowning achievement, so enjoy it. We'll talk to you people next week.
I've had some good times and stuff, but yeah.
I don't think so, no.
Mostly people dying in chairs.
Look into your heart. It's no good. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.